You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men, and you're listening to Weeby Geeks.
And welcome to another episode of Weeby Geeks, where it is two hosts and a frog. Okay, that I didn't mean it to be that mean, but we have a host with a froggy voice.
I didn't know where you're going with that one for a second.
For a second, I didn't either, which is half the fun.
I thought you might be going with the comment that occasionally I sound like Kermit the Frog, and you're actually digging on me, but you're actually digging on Jules. So yeah, pile on, go right ahead. Don't affect me now.
You see where the loyalty is, Jules?
I do.
He's willing to jump on everyone.
Oh yeah, just everyone's like fair game.
Yeah. I have no voice tonight, so it might be hard to hear what I'm saying, but it's loyalty because I'm here.
So we were planning on you leading us the whole show, this episode. It's going to be the Jules episode, and you've got a frog. You got sick, and so that now we have to give it back to Mike.
You know, Jules could do her impression of the one song that we love.
Yeah! Oh.
At the same tone.
Oh, baby, you! Say what? A little loud, a little loud!
No.
But you can't get that louder part.
No. So, yes, it is another episode. Things have been good. We've had some great response from listeners, and we appreciate you guys listening. Check out our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/WeebyGeeks. Like the show. Help us out. It helps us stay ad-free, allows us to help improve our resources on trying to get more guests booked on the show. Maybe a little get guests that we haven't thought of, or allow us the possibility to get to that access where we can access those guests and reach out to more, like a Ron Perlman, like maybe a Clark Gregg. Who knows? While we're at it, lots of things are coming up. One thing we'll talk about later, which you can pre-order now through Amazon, and that's the Star Wars downloads, which we'll discuss that later. Lost in Space, 50th Anniversary Edition. Can you believe 50 years of that show? Lost in Space, that was 50 years ago. You can pre-order that on Amazon, and just go to the Amazon link on our homepage, on the homepage, or actually any of our pages. If you see the Amazon link and you see a story about something that you like and you want to get it, click Amazon. It doesn't cost anything more to you. We get the referral fee. We get like a referral fee. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of back from Amazon. So it's no cost to you. It's just Amazon goes, well, thank you for referring someone. Here's a dime for the $100 a person just spent. So, but eventually it does help us keep the show free as well. Check out our other affiliates like Audio Technica for headphone needs, or if you decide to get into podcasting, your microphone needs. Rick's Comic City, which Deadpool, The new Deadpool, the 250.
Yeah, or issue number 250, issue number 45, Death of Deadpool. It's got like so many titles to it. It's whatever. It will kill bugs because it's so thick and heavy.
That's like $10
comic. Yeah, it's a $10 comic, but that sucker is, you know, it's pretty thick. So, you know, it's a mini trade, I think is what it is. So, yeah, that's how. Did you see the variant cover? One of the variant covers was a homage to Death of Wolverine number 4.
No.
It's like Deadpool being carried off by the Grim Reaper. He's like, hey, can I get some clothes here? It's a little cold right now. You know, it's a little nippy. You know, just typical Deadpool humor, but I was like, that's pretty good.
See if I can do a Barry White here. For all the ladies out there, and for all you guys who have geek girls or geek ladies, hit up our our link for her universe, Ashley Eckstein, former guest on the show. It's clothing for the geek girls at heart. You can't beat that. I know my daughter absolutely loves her Ahsoka Tano hoodie that she has. Check out the various subscription boxes that we have on the site: Hero Crate, Comic Bento, Nerd Block, Geek Me Box. Also check out Shirt Punch. And I do not have the new superhero stuff up. Wow, I need to get on the ball and get that back up too. It's been crazy nuts down here. Check out our affiliates. And now that the business side of things is over, let's talk comics briefly. Marty, I think you had a story about Dark Horse.
Yeah, an interesting
friends
little
of the show.
A little promo, I guess you could say. They are offering retailers a free barbed wire number one variant, because they are redoing barbed wire and resoliciting it. But to retailers, for every 10 copies of Star Wars number one first printing that they send in to Dark Horse, they get one copy of this very exclusive barbed wire variant cover, which is not, just like any old variant cover. We're talking like...
It's Adam Hughes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's an Adam Hughes cover. So it's not, it's not like some schmuck just off the street, drew on the blank variant and is going to give it to you. It's going to be well worth your money. But the question to me is, Star Wars number one came out, just early in January?
Yeah.
Here it is.
First or second week of January.
Yeah, it sounds like a great deal, but how many retailers still have 10 copies of the first printing of number one to actually send in to even get that? Like, maybe if they offered it to extended it to maybe like the second, or even is there a third printing coming yet?
There's a fifth printing coming out.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I have lost track then. I thought I was like, I think I heard a third printing, but I didn't know about a fourth.
Yeah. I know there's I know there's a fourth.
Yeah. So if they extended it to
there's a fifth.
Yeah. But, me as a retailer, it's like, if I can just sell the first print of Star Wars, I could probably, eventually buy that barbed wire from someplace. I don't know. The money thing just doesn't seem like it bounces out, or the fact that you still have like 10 copies of this first printing of a book still just kind of hanging out collecting dust.
To me, it would seem like there were a million copies supposedly released of the book. I'm not sure if that includes all the variant covers of the book.
Yeah, I think it is.
So at this point in time, what would be the assumption? 500,000 the regular cover, and then the other 500,000 split amongst the variants, 69 different variants.
Could be. I'm just thinking, as a retailer, it's how many retailers out there are going to have just like 10 copies that they're going to willingly send in to get this one barbed wire? Because you can also ask this, and no offense to Dark Horse or barbed wire, but does anyone care about barbed wire anymore? It's been like 20 years since she's really kind of had any sort of spotlight on. Pamela Anderson pretty much broke that camel's back. It was like, with the movie that they did. So,
well, I guess my question is, with a fourth, now fifth printing coming out, what does that do to the value of the regular cover first edition? I mean, as a retailer, for Star Wars, if I walked into the store with my normal copy, the normal shelf copy, non-variant, standard cover, issue one, is that, are we now talking an increase in value since we're up to fourth or fifth editions?
I'm not seeing it, just kind of keeping up with it on eBay and sites like that. I'm not seeing any kind of drastic increase in a first print number one copy of the regular. Maybe some of the variants, they may be going up a little bit more. But we're talking a couple bucks. We're not talking anything drastic where you take this, easily get 10 bucks for that.
Okay. The figure standard cover was, $3.99? Because you are getting the bonus book of digital copy, which is something DC should pick up on. Fourth, fifth edition's coming out, you think maybe it's jumped to $5, $6?
Yeah, I'm saying but that's also what it's worth. Now, if you take it in there, to a retailer to get credit on or something like that, he's probably not going to give you that. He'll probably give you cover price. Just, because he's got to turn around and sell it, make a profit. He's not there to do a trade out. But so, I don't think there's any going to be high demand. Like if you bought on day one, if you went in and swiped up five or ten copies, you're not going to be able to turn those around and make any kind of significant profit yet. And it's hard to say, like, if you ever will, just because
I don't think they
are out there. You know, there are, like I said, there are a million copies out there of some version or another, so it's going to take a long, long time, if ever, that supply meets the demand.
I would think if it was, like, maybe the 80s, you know, like Killing Joke. I know a first print Killing Joke is worth more than a third print Killing Joke.
Over demand and over print run too, because I'm sure Killing Joke didn't have a million copies either.
No. So let's see. Current eBay. Oh, come on. I put in Star Wars number one. I'm getting the variant covers. Okay. The McLaren or McLeon variant, which was a 1 in 25, and regular edition first print $21.99. So it's the variant that they're calling for more.
Is that what somebody's asking for it?
That's what, like, someone's asking for on eBay. Yeah,
so that doesn't necessarily mean that's what it's going for too.
Right.
Ask for,
that's asking price.
Dollars doesn't mean anybody's going to buy it for that.
Let's go highest price. See if we find regular cover. So anyhow, is there more details about what's going on with the barbed wire while we're looking at eBay?
Yeah, that was about all they said about as far as the new book that I could find, which is just this little kind of promotional deal. They also had, I guess, on April 1st and April Fool's Day, they had another deal they were offering where you could get win a Bengal tiger.
Okay.
for their new King Tiger mini series that they have. Like, one lucky fan will win a Bengal tiger. And they even had, like, details, like, you know, it's 3 years old and, you know, 470 pounds and all, you know, but then they ended up saying it was just an April Fool's joke and there was no way it's going to allow that to happen.
So right now, if you go into the stores and see a yellow covered Star Wars number one, yellow background, because the first one was white. I want to say third or fourth printing was red. Fifth printing is yellow.
Okay.
So there's like three other colors out there. Well, three other covers.
Yeah.
Colors out there.
I want to say the third cover, I think I've seen the third printing, and I think it's just like a lighter shade of red. There's like red, and then there's kind of not as red. I don't know what the fourth one is, because I didn't even know it existed until.
Okay, here's one. Star Wars, number one, first printing. Signed by Jason Aaron, $24.99 or best offer.
Yeah, that's also throwing off the what we're talking about, because it's got an autograph on it too. Yeah, so that's
good. If you go to the completed auctions,
yeah, completed auctions, and see.
Then you'll see what they went for.
Completed items.
I sound like Yoda over here.
Gotta do. Say the line. Say the line. Do or do not. Do not say it. Say it.
When Jules doesn't cooperate.
I mean, I'm not wasting my voice on lines that you heard a million times already.
And the worst part is I don't have a Yoda soundbite.
What?
Yeah. I know. Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. I've suddenly lost faith in both of you two. I just don't.
Well,
I think I'm getting sick, and I don't know if I can continue this show now.
Yeah. You asking Jules about doing a Yoda bite, she's going to respond to you with this.
But it's going to sound like
I'm going for the raspiness. No, I'm going for the raspiness.
That's what
my husband was like, I can't even, he's like, you don't even sound like yourself. I was like, what do you want me to sound like? My voice is gone.
Or at least he didn't say what some husbands may have been thinking. He's like, man, it's been great with you being sick because I haven't had to hear you talk all the time. And I'm not speaking for all husbands out there. That's not exactly what we all say.
Just Marty.
Huh, so that's why I'm single.
So completed Star Wars number one standard edition and movie variant first printing $9.99.
It did sell for that?
Yeah. That'd be the regular edition and then the Luke the Tatooine movie scene.
So you're essentially getting, for that one, that's a package deal. So you're getting two books for $10.
Right.
When they were retailing for, you know, the cover price was $4. So it's they haven't made that big of a deal.
But that same variant cover sold for $26.78.
In another auction?
Well, yeah, a different auction. So we're talking eBay here, folks. I mean,
yeah.
and I'm not seeing the standard cover. Here we go. Standard cover. $4.25.
So less than the cover price.
Another one is $6.98.
Or another quarter.
Another one is $6.98, $4.25, $6.50. 650, 650, 650, 325. Hey, decrease in value. Wait a minute.
Somebody jumped on that one.
698, 650, 283.
Wow, that's a random number.
Yeah.
So really, it's not. Yeah, it's not really any great leaps and bounds as far as going more than the cover price. Which is pretty traditional for, you know, when you have multiple printing.
So we'll figure the
average. the only one I've seen in the especially of recent years that's where it, like a second printing has actually almost exceeded the price of a first printing. Harley Quinn number one.
Yeah.
When they did the second printing, they had a whole new cover that I believe Amanda Connor did, where it's like Harley kind of balled up, kind of curled up, and like almost like a ball, but she got a straight jacket on, and you see sort of the padded walls of Arkham around her. It's a beautiful cover, and that was like such a stunning cover that people flocked to it, and it had a low print run because it's a second printing, so it's just, you know, it's just adding on to what was already out there, and it's the it actually sells higher than the first printing, which is a rare feat. You don't see that very
often. Yeah. So speaking of Star Wars,
you may dispense with the pleasantries, Commander.
Okay, then. Friday, April 10th, Star Wars is being released digitally
again. That's what you say. No, I just say Star Wars is being released again.
But another match. For all of you who don't want Blu-rays or DVDs for whatever reason, and just want everything digital, I know Vudu is going to have all of them plus bonus features and bonus features that you haven't seen before. $89.99. That's all six movies plus tons of bonus features. And the best part is, with Vudu, if you have the Disney movies anywhere app, it automatically syncs to iTunes. So you automatically get the iTunes copies. Now, if you try and buy the movies through the Disney Movies Anywhere app, you get everything but episode one, but A New Hope. Because A New Hope is still under Fox distribution. All the others are allowed to be distributed by Disney.
Gotcha.
But New Hope is, I think that's till 2020. So you could go iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, Google Play, and get all six movies. Go to Disney Movies Anywhere, you're getting five of the six.
So, I mean, truth be told, is this a big deal to you, the Star Wars fan?
Loaded question.
is this something that interests Mr. Emke? Is this something that Mr. Emke would like to buy and have in his collection? Are you getting it because you actually will use the digital copies probably more than the physical copies, or are you getting it just because of the Star Wars collector and you need to get another Star Wars?
Well, one, it would give me a third copy of the movie digitally, because I have
a third copy of the movie digitally.
Yes. Because I have the DVDs,
right,
and I ripped the DVDs into so I could put them on my device. So I have the original theatrical uncut of the original trilogy. I have the special edition when they first released on DVD, and then, of course, the prequels. So now what's being released digitally is the Blu-ray copies, which is special edition 3, I think it is. Because I think the first special edition were released on VHS, and then he tweaked them again for, I think it was like VHS and Laserdisc, which I do have the Laserdisc copies of. I actually have the physical Laserdiscs of the original trilogy. So with the original trilogy, you've got the VHS Laserdisc edition, which is what aired in the which is what went out to the theaters. Then the DVD release, they did some tweaks some more. And then the Blu-ray, they tweaked again, special edition. So yeah, it's special edition 3.0, the Blu-rays.
Now is it now the digital ones that are being released this week, what version is this?
The Blu-rays. It's going to be the same special as what's on the Blu-ray. 3.0, yeah.
So it's not Special Edition 4.
No.
It's not. I actually, because I just saw the ad, the TV ad, I really hadn't been keeping up with it because really, like, my collection needs another set of Star Wars movies. I saw the commercials, like, really? Didn't we already have this out on digital? I didn't bother looking it up because I just stopped caring if commercial was over. I was like, because I own them. I don't need them anymore.
Well, the nice thing is, It's got additional bonus content. It's got some new bonus content that wasn't featured on the Blu-rays. And the Blu-rays alone already had 40 hours of digital content, or of bonus content. So, like with Phantom Menace, you have conversations, Doug Chang looks back at Phantom Menace, discoveries from inside, models and miniatures. And the legacy content includes the beginning, the pod race, theatrical edit, plus 8 deleted scenes, which is from the Blu-ray. From episode 2, you have conversations, sounds, and space. See, just me alone wants that commentary, because it's sound mixers Ben Burt and Matthew Wood meet at Skywalker Ranch to discuss how they came to work on the Star Wars films. As an audio guy, audio engineer, that, I mean, I sat in on their panel at the two celebrations that were here in Orlando. And if I was going out to Celebration 7 in Anaheim, and I would sit in on that same panel again, just because. Because there's always going to be some new insight and new stuff mentioned that wasn't mentioned in the last one. Plus, Ben Burt's the reason why I got into this crazy business anyway. So, yeah, it's all his fault. And I'm okay with that. The other new one is Discoveries from Inside, Costumes Revealed. From Revenge of the Sith, Conversations, The Star Wars That Almost Was, and Discoveries from Inside, Hologram and Bloopers. From A New Hope, The Conversations, Creating a Universe, and then the Discoveries bonus is Weapons and the First Lightsaber. From Empire Strikes Back, The Conversations is Lost Interviews, The Discoveries is Matte Paintings Unveiled, and from Return of the Jedi, the effects is the conversations, and another one that I would definitely is a must have for me, Discoveries from Inside, the sounds of Ben Burt. And this is Ben Burt invites you into his office at Sky Sound, a laboratory of artifacts used to create the unforgettable sound effects of Star Wars. Discover the inspiration for sounds of C-3PO, R2-D2, the lightsaber, and the ominous breathing of Darth Vader. So,
but here's the real question that me as a person who likes money is thinking: how hard is it for you to purchase or put down $90 for something that you don't get physically ever? It can touch your heart, I guess. But that's not it. All right, if I'm spending $90 on the Blu-rays when those come out, okay, that's one thing. I got the Blu-rays. I can keep them. I can sell them again. I can keep them for like 20 years until my Blu-ray player finally dies. But to spend $90 on that same set for a digital-only version feels a little bit hard. Like, you need to back that price down a little bit.
To be honest with you, I would rather spend like the $40-$50 to get an external Blu-ray player for my computer and rip in my movies. Because individually, the movies are selling $20 each. So I'd rather rip the movies in and do it myself. But because I'm doing it off, and it's going to be for myself, but I'm doing it off copies I've already owned.
Right.
But give me a chance.
Technically, there's like that legal gray area is how that works. If you're a consumer, you're just a regular Joe Schmo that doesn't have the tech to do any kind of tech, could you on a train with $90 for some more Star Wars that you never physically touch, never get to, you can't resell it, you can't do anything.
I would think if you bought the 9-disc Star Wars Blu-ray set, mm-hmm. as long as you get proof of purchase, ask for a scan. If I was Disney Lucas, I would say ask for a scan of that. Taking that and going, okay, for $30, you can buy the code to download, to redeem the entire saga. That way I'm not showing it out again.
Yeah, you say, price. You're basically agreeing, like $90 is a little steep for
Disney. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
when the Blu-rays came out, that's how much the full set was, right?
On Amazon, like, yeah. The 9-disc
for set. Either the trilogies or 90 for both of them. Or
right. And I think they originally wanted something like 160.
Yeah, it was
9 there. Discs. Yeah. Now
that's my, at least for that you get something as you please.
Give me the option to buy the bonus features separate. I would do that.
Yeah.
But
I'm wondering if they might wait until everybody buys it first and then say, oh, wait, we're going to just release the bonus features separate for like $40.
Well, I'd be curious. I'd be curious to see what Disney Movies Anywhere releases with, like, the bonus, if they put the bonus features up in their one section of their site.
Well, you know, it's what's really going to happen is now that they're digital, you got the digital thing worked out, and they've got the Blu-ray worked out, that means that in 2 more years, they will then come out with the Blu-ray digital combo pack that will be for $90.
Yeah.
Or $100 or whatever they want to charge. It doesn't. It's arbitrary money now. But it will happen. That'll be the next set. Guarantee it. That'll be the combo pack where you get all of it in one set.
Yeah, it's probably.
It's like an iPhone. I have an iPhone, so I can talk bad about iPhone. But look at every iPhone incarnation that comes out. There's only like one or two like really cool new features per iPhone. It's not like, you know, when a whole new phone comes out and it's like everything's right. iPhone really just, they've got the one thing they do pretty well, and then they just kind of add like one little feature to it. And that's every time the Star Wars gets released, one little thing gets added to it,
yeah.
But it's just enough to send the masses into a panic and go get the new one.
I know there's a panic to get the digitals when they come out. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I think in general, with any of these digital services, you want to buy the movie. Okay, it's a digital copy.
That's what they're starting to do more of the combo packs, like I'm talking about, where it's like you get the Blu-ray and get the digital code to download or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm cool with that. That's awesome. You know, well, they want to keep doing that. And it seems to be more the norm now.
For me, like when Force Awakens comes out, since it's a Disney movie, Disney owned franchise, I'm going to go to the Disney store and get it. Cause like we picked up 3 movies, like Big Hero 6, the digital copy, the DVD, Blu-ray, digital copy. Best Buy, Target, Walmart usually retails, around $30?
Probably, yeah.
Disney store, $25. Plus you got lithographs as well for pre-ordering. Okay. So Star Wars Episode 7, if it's available for pre-order through the Disney store for the DVD, Blu-ray, digital copy, and it's $5 cheaper than what it'll retail for everywhere else. Yeah, I'm going to pre-order. But I also get the perk of being a cast member. I also get 10% off of that as well. So, So I'm going to take advantage of it. But still, even if I wasn't a cast member, I still take advantage. It's $5 off, you know, of Best Buy or Target or whatever.
Occasionally, you can get all 3, the digital, the Blu-ray, and the DVD for like $20. But it's only like the first week it comes out.
Yeah.
I think like usually at Target. So like if you go the second week, it's like $40. Which we never get it the first week. So we always end up paying a little bit more. But that annoys me because I feel like it should just always be like $20 if you're going to have it that way. But
And that's really just because the way that studios look at the success of a movie or a home video release or something like that, it's always in the first week of sales. Because, I mean, in a lot of cases, and possibly because of the pricing structure, but a lot of cases that is true. Like, you're going to sell your most units when it first releases.
Right.
You may sell more over a period of time, but, you know, all at once, or maybe at a Christmas holiday season, something like that.
Right.
But, like, you know, the majority of them, that's the largest number of units sold. Like, same thing with music too. Like you're most of them are going to be out the door in the first week, and then after that it just kind of trickles down to nothingness almost.
Yeah, but you know, with DVDs it's almost like if they had released Star Wars Episode 7 next month, like everyone initially wanted them to, instead of waiting until December. The trend's been okay, so the movie probably be, if it came out in May, chances are the movie still be in the theaters in July, push in August. Do they release in October, which has been the trend, 2 months after it's left the theaters, or in this case, actually, you know, did they release in August, 2-3 months after it was the initial release, not after it left? Or would you hold off until Christmas for that and try and bank on the Christmas?
I would do Christmas if I was them, just because that's going to make the demand for it. Like, everybody's going to want it then for Christmas presents and stuff.
Let's see now with the movie coming out in December. Now, was the big holiday shopping season after Christmas, New Year's, that you're going to put a major, you know, put a film of this caliber out for?
You give it for Valentine's Day if you got any kind of good spouse. That's what happens, or boyfriend, girlfriend. You give that crap Valentine's Day. That's how you say I love you. Foreshadowing.
Look what the Easter Bunny gave you.
Yeah, you know, that's always been the problem. I mean, Lord of the Rings had no problem selling units, and it always came out in December. You know, it's it really, I mean, Christmas is going to help you some, but what you can do is you can then put out, you know, the theatrical version or something like that, and then when Christmas rolls around, you put out your special edition version.
Or the extended version.
Extended, or you know, the
I don't know if there's going to be an extended on this one.
I'm sure there will be.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, there's gonna be plenty of stuff out there. So I mean, so that there are ways that they can still. I'm not afraid of the studio going under for not making money.
Yeah, don't see that.
Probably happening. off of these sales for the digital copies, they'll probably be able to finance another Star Wars movie off of that. So it'll be all right.
Are you kidding me? I think the theater ticket sales are going to finance the next movie.
Yeah.
Or the standalone.
Mostly because they're $20 a piece now. So.
Well, let's think about it. Cinderella is already over 400 million worldwide.
Kidding me?
No joke. Cinderella. It's been out a little over a month. Okay. I think it came out in February. So we're talking over 400 million there. Age of Ultron comes out in 3 weeks. Can't tell me that's not going to be a billion-dollar movie worldwide.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got Inside Out, the new Pixar movie. That's probably going to come close to, you know, half a billion. You got Star Wars in December. Oh, Lord. That's almost guaranteed a billion there worldwide, just from the hype alone. Whether it's good or bad, it's still going to be, you got the surprise hit or potential hit with Ant-Man. I could see that doing at least 500 mil worldwide easily. I mean, so we're talking, what, almost three $3 billion in movies alone. Well, then you also got Tomorrowland coming out, which I will garner probably 500 mil worldwide. I mean, we're talking $3.5 billion from Disney in movie ticket sales alone. You tell me the company can't run everything on that money?
Oh, yeah.
You know, plus you got the theme parks. You know, ticket prices just went up there, and we're still packed in the parks. No, we're still above attendance numbers for what's at the moment off. Well, up through last week, coming into Easter, off peak season. Now in the off, yeah, you know, for the off season,
it's the happiest place on earth. That's why.
No comment.
Unless you work there, then it's the worst place on earth.
No, I've been there 17 years. It can't be that bad. But there are some things when you look at the big picture of, oh, we buy this for this much money, and we bought this for this much money, and hey, look, it's, yeah, that's off air topic conversation. I guess starting this past Tuesday, you can get HBO Now for free for a month.
Free, you say? I do like free.
Free. Get a month free. The service costs $14.99 a month and comes with a 30-day free trial. And it is available through Apple TV, iPhones, iPads, as well as one major broadband internet provider, Cablevision.
Cablevision. I thought that was wasn't that the name that they used on 30 Rock for when they didn't want it? Because they started blurring the lines when Comcast bought NBC. They kind of wrote that into the show. And I thought, no, they call it Cable Town. That's what it was.
Cable Town, yeah.
It was very close. Yeah, it was Cable Town. I think that's what they used on 30 Rock. Now it's real.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, with the original two sports channels, you had that were full cable, national, ESPN, and then Sports Channel. And all of a sudden, Sports Channel kind of disappeared.
Yeah. So you get it this week, and doesn't a certain little show called what's it called?
The Throne of Games.
Yeah,
that's King of the Nerds.
Camelot, maybe. I don't remember. It's something with some swords, dragon.
It's got Tony. Yeah, Tony Stark in it, right?
Yeah, I think it does. Gotta. Everything's got him in it. Cheadle.
Well, I know Bright House Cable is doing a free weekend with Game of Thrones with HBO this weekend.
Oh, that's cool.
Starting Friday.
Yeah.
We've already had Epics. So we've already had Stars and Encore. Next, we get HBO.
And Game of Thrones, the first episode premieres this Sunday,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so that's a pretty good time to, like, roll this out and, you know, do some free, because people see this show. It's going to lose their minds.
I still haven't had time to binge watch the other seasons.
There you go. It's your perfect opportunity.
No, I got MegaCon this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
So, but yeah, it's, John Oliver had a great quote for this. It's a lot like HBO Go, except you don't have to rely on your parents' password.
I think the HBO Now is like we talked about it before, but I think it's really good idea where it's, you know, finally somebody's kind of, besides the WWE, is kind of like saying, oh, we really don't need you, cable company. We've got the product. You need us more than anything. So we've figured out a way to get around you. Does it feel like to anybody else like this, we may be witnessing the stages of cable companies like getting, well, a la carte still feels like it's a pipe dream. Like it's a fairy tale. Like, you know, the only way it's going to happen is if that magical wish from a shooting star actually comes true. That kind of deal. But, you know, it does feel like with the WWE separating, with HBO figuring out a way to go around their companies, are they going to have to maybe look at ideas to keep people around or make themselves still viable in a new market or in a changing, really?
I don't know, because like with WWE,
what will it take for ESPN just to say screw it, we're all streaming now, we don't need to go through cable companies, and you just get ESPN for $10 a month, just straight from us.
Yeah, but you know the money that they pay the cable companies to be on the different cable companies. Actually, no. Never mind.
Well,
I was going to say they get that money back from the leagues, but no, they have to pay the leagues for the broadcast rights. So I was wrong. Right. So I was thinking the opposite direction.
Yeah. Or what if we start seeing more of, you know, we've already got like the NHL network, the NBA network, the NFL network. We've already got these. Now, what if those networks, most of them even have funding from the actual league that they're covering? What if they just like said split off and said something like, oh, we're just going to take everything that's the NBA. Who needs who, I guess, essentially? Do those companies need the cable companies, or do the cable companies need those too?
I think like the actual league networks need the cable companies, because NHL Network is owned by the league. MLB is owned by the league. NBA TV is owned by the league. NFL Network is owned by the league. So they kind of need the only thing I can think of
like as a parallel that's happened in the last maybe like 20 years is like, say, boxing. All right, think of how big boxing was back in the day, of like Muhammad Ali,
Tyson.
Frazier, Tyson, all those guys. And then what happened? Boxing's like, oh, we're going to become more of a pay-per-view sort of deal. So like all the good fights and even like some of the not so great fights, but that had name recognition, they were all pay-per-view. And then like the distance that boxing got to be from the average person, like talk to anybody now about boxing and you might know the next big card that's coming up, but that's it. Like,
right.
Boxing has almost killed itself because of either the corruption of, like, you know, wondering if people are taking a dive, and two, there's no boxing on TV, so the average person just can't turn on a match and watch it and enjoy it.
It's either now you either have to have HBO or Showtime to get it, or it's right. Pay-per-view.
Right. And how much has that killed their audience? Like, you know, now the UFC has like moved in basically to where boxing was 20 years, 30 years ago.
Right.
40.
But they're still doing, I mean, they still do all the pay-per-views, but there's still a lot of stuff that's not pay-per-view worthy, I guess, that they still throw on Fox Sports or
UFC.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, but it's still like for sports, it's still like, you know, it would be interesting, like if the NFL wasn't being broadcast on television, would those NFL teams still have as big a following as they do? Interesting, like, theory.
Yeah, well, for me, it's the with like the center ice package or the NFL Sunday ticket package. Cool, Sunday ticket. Say it's what, $60 for the season?
No, it's like $250.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not cheap.
Okay, let me spend $20 and get my team.
Yeah. if they're out, yeah.
And I'm an out of my team is an out of market team. So
they have come up with something like that actually for the NFL. I think it's called NFL Now, where you can do that, where you can follow one team and get like every one of their games and then, like after they air, they're not live games, so it's after they aired and you can watch either the full broadcast version or the condensed down to 30-minute version, or you had the package where you can get like all the NFL teams
and everything's cheap.
And then there was like a third package where you get like all the NFL teams, all the playoff coverage, all the Super Bowl coverage, and like some couple of lectures in there. And there's like three tiers to it, and I think that's a very interesting way to go about things to really target to a brand,
right.
to a person.
Yeah, but 20 to 30 bucks, I get my team. Obviously, we've talked about it before. My team is the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, for me, it's an out-of-market team.
Obviously, you're not really a football fan. See what I did there? He's a Browns.
I could be a Colts fan. They're about as bad. Well, no, I can't say that.
No.
Titans?
I grew up in a Browns household, so my mom just like kind of brainwashed us. She was like, Browns are the best team ever. So I always have a soft spot for them. I always like want them to win.
They're the lovable losers. You just like, you root for them because they haven't seen a winning season in so long, they forgot what it looked like.
I think since we've been back, we've made the playoffs once.
see, the Browns are so bad they had to leave, and then for some reason somebody said thought it was a good idea to let them come back.
Life in a Cleveland Browns household.
Meanwhile, in a small corner of the city, and the home of real bad pain.
Yeah.
Browns.
There are times being a Browns fan, the one time I was going to use that job, and it's not here because I removed it. Okay, well.
There seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
Actually, now here it is. Being a Browns fan.
Are you mental?
It's just that just means you're dedicated. You're either a fan growing up when they actually did have,
the days of Kozar. Ozzie Newsome. Or
you just lived in that area, and that's all you get to
be. Being a Cleveland Browns fan.
Rejection. How I missed you.
Being a Cleveland Browns fan.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
It's almost as bad as being a Lions fan, but
no, Lions have been great.
Yeah.
Being a Cleveland Browns fan.
So is this live?
Being a Cleveland Browns fan.
Oh!
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people are going to argue, as you get back to the what we're talking about, sports and cable and all that, because, the reason that our cable bills keep going up typically, or our cable bills are as high as they are typically, is because of the sports packages we pay for. Right. So it would be interesting, like, if, say, ESPN and Fox Sports all split off and did their own thing, how cheap would our cable bill be all of a sudden? A sports fan, you don't think so?
I don't think so. Because remember,
they just keep it that way.
Yeah,
you're already paying that. So,
I mean, look what happened when CBS. Well, down here we had issues with CBS not being a part of our cable company down here. There was a threat that, and it went away for about 3-4 days.
But that's a dispute with a distributor. That's not like saying like ESPN's like, we're done with all of you. We're just doing our own thing.
Well, but
we're not coming back. There's no way, because that's a deal of they're gonna work it out. For one,
Well, yeah, you don't piss off the sports teams.
They're gonna work it out. Yeah.
The sports groups.
So, it would be an interesting thing to see what would transpire if some major split.
Right. Yeah, I think if the cable companies were to allow the sports channels to split off and upset them.
I'm sorry, your answer must be in the form of a question, but thank you for playing.
So.
And then it would be interesting, the other part of to me would just be interesting to see like how attendance or how fan reaction would be when there isn't on. But by then, maybe that'll be the norm of how we get our entertainment too.
It
may not be through just one television box, maybe through like a streaming service sort of box.
I will say we experienced that here a few years ago with we have a channel called Sun Sports, or now it's called Sun. It was the old Sunshine Network, Sunshine Channel Network, and Sun Sports, and it's owned by Fox. And when there was the whole issue with Fox and Fox Sport and all its affiliates, Fox Sports, FX, and all that going away. way. Maybe it's just Sun Channel or Sun. I know there was something with Sun that they were off the air for about a week and a half. That meant no Magic games, no Lightning game, Tampa Bay Lightning games, no local sports that Sun carried for a week and a half just because of distribution, you know, the distribution contract. And I think right after that is when Sun became part of the Fox family. But speaking of moving and stuff like that, actually, I need to get a quick plug in before we hit this next story because it kind of goes hand in hand.
Don't blink and experience optical overload at the largest pop culture convention in the South. MegaCon 2015. Sci-fi, comic books, anime, and more. Featuring special guests Stan Lee, Doctor Who's Karen Gillan, and Sons of Anarchy's Ron Perlman. Meet Norman Reedus, Michael Rooker, and stars from The Walking Dead. Comic book creators, costume contests, and more. MegaCon 2015. April 10th through 12th, Orange County Convention Center. Get discounted tickets at megaconvention.com.
Yeah, Ron Perlman's canceled on that one. But several years ago, WonderCon moved. WonderCon, okay, yeah, I think it's just the one WonderCon. WonderCon moved from San Francisco to Anaheim. And next year, Comic-Con International, same group that owns San Diego Comic-Con, and is going after people who use the Comic-Con name as part of their convention, has announced that...
I wonder when that was going to happen.
It started happening last year. They went after quite a few groups. I'm surprised Emerald's, I'm not sure how tight they are because, you know, Emerald City Comic-Con is still Comic-Con. It's the whole Comic-Con.
I'm sure there's going to be a few that kind of get grandfathered in that sort of get the pass, but there's some of them.
Supposedly they're trying to lay claim that they own, because they trademarked the name Comic-Con, no one else has the rights to use Comic-Con or Comic Convention as part of their name, which is stupid.
Which I can see, because like, you know, a wizard does that, and it's like, but you guys barely have comics there, so why?
Yeah.
You're just using the name for SEO and fan, you know, easy recognition. Yep. Since
CCI, Comic-Con International, has announced that WonderCon 2016 will not be in Anaheim. It's moving up the road to Los Angeles, to the Los Angeles Convention Center. Please step away from the monorail doors. And the convention is going to be taking place March 25th through 27th. So not only is this a change in location, but it also moves the convention up a couple weeks. Everyone's speculating, is this to coincide with Batman Heart Superman, the Dawn of Justice?
Probably not. Just when the Los Angeles Center was open. I am curious, though, will WonderCon have to do like the Angels in Major League Baseball, and they'll have to call themselves like the Anaheim WonderCon of Los Angeles? Los Angeles WonderCon of Anaheim? That'd be awesome.
The folks over, or I saw the story over on Collider. And the author said, you know, he personally feels that the expansion of WonderCon would diminish the festival's individuality, and that it's slowly going to turn into a San Diego Comic-Con of the spring. So, I could potentially see that, considering just how nuts San Diego is. Sells out in that hour, in less than an hour now.
It's the same company. They would have no issue with that. And you're actually, in some ways, if you're in LA, which, you know, most of the movies and TV studios and stuff like that are going to San Diego all the time, they're in LA, so it would be easier for them to show up.
Yeah, but it'd still be easy for those same ones to show up in Anaheim too.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
I mean, it's
not
just the down difference
between Anaheim. Yeah, they're not a great distance. But I'm just talking like it, between like San Diego and having like San Diego Comic Con and WonderCon. You know, what's to keep them from just like bleeding some of San Diego over to WonderCon? Because it's right. Like, hey, we're in LA. You don't even have to pack up your stuff to go to San Diego, which is 2 hours away. Maybe it's like you can just. That. you can sleep in your own home and still come to the convention, you know, for some of these distribution centers or houses.
Well, San Diego Comic-Con owns Comic-Con, obviously, WonderCon Anaheim, soon to be LA, and Ape, Alternate Press Expo.
So. Kind of cool, I guess. LA should probably have a big con. It'd be pretty good.
They're
the second city in the world state.
Well, I want to say Stan Lee's Kamikaze is in LA.
Oh, great.
Not Anaheim. I'll look it up right now. I don't know. I think this might, it could potentially, I don't know. I seeing on Facebook, there's a lot of complaints that it's moving up to LA.
But I mean, like I said, is it that big of a beef that's going from LA to Anaheim? Is it?
From Anaheim to LA? From what I'm hearing,
I just can't. Yeah, I don't understand California geography that closely. Anyway, I think like Oakland is only like a 20-minute drive from LA, probably, and I'm sure it's not.
No, it's not.
I think it's like a 6-hour drive.
Yeah, 4 to 6 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. California's just too big for my feeble little brain to comprehend where all these cities are located and how far apart they are. But, you know, if you're going from Anaheim to L.A. They're like neighboring cities. It doesn't sound like it's as big of a deal as if you move to like an Oakland or San Francisco or.
See, Kamikaze is in the Los Angeles Convention Center where they're putting WonderCon. And last year.
It's also where they do E3.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only thing I can think of is this is going to turn into, instead of San Diego Comic Con, it's going to be LA Comic Con. The WonderCon name is going to probably go away. I mean, it's going to be an LA Comic Con.
I mean, it's not like it's been in Anaheim for like since its inception. It's bounced around at different cities, so I don't think where it's held at is its drawing point. I think its name, the name is recognizable, so keep using it.
Yeah, they probably will, but in a sense, it's going to be tabbed as San Diego Junior once it hits LA. Is what it's going to feel like.
Yeah, that's could be tabbed as Creation Entertainment.
True. now WonderCon started off as an annual comic book science fiction motion picture convention that was originally held in San Francisco from 87 to 2011 and then moved to Anaheim.
Right. So it's not like it's been in Anaheim for really all that long. So yeah,
4 years.
So for them to move around again is not a big deal. It sounds like it would have been a bigger deal when it moved from San Francisco to Anaheim than it is from Anaheim to LA.
Well, the only reason why it moved to Anaheim was because the Moscone Center was being remodeled. And then I guess they decided not to go back. So I wonder if the Anaheim Convention Center is going to be the same way. If it's supposed to be under remodel.
I think it is, actually. I think I read that.
Yeah, because I know they got to get through WonderCon, they got to get through Celebration, and then they got to get through August D23. So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens.
Right.
And then we talked about it briefly last week, but production schedules have been moved around, and Mallrats 2 will be Kevin Smith's next movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we
talked about this last week.
Yeah. So it makes me wonder, is Clerks 3, is he afraid that if he does do it, he's done, since he has claimed that that's going to be his last film and then he can't do anymore without ruining a street cred?
You mean within his own movie universe?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of interesting.
Well,
like,
just as in his own mind in general.
No, maybe he just feels like, you know, these characters are still ripe for storytelling. Mm. Maybe it's like these are his favorite. These are like his children. These are his favorites, and that he wants to see what they can still do with it.
Well, I guess in the most recent episode of Hollywood Babylon, Smith has revealed that the sequel has become the priority, leapfrogging ahead of the other projects, primarily because of location availability. This is a quote from Kevin Smith, and it's got some spoilers in it, or contains a significant spoiler. But you know what? Here we go anyway. Here's the quote. We've been putting together Mallrats 2. It's been a real, like, Blues Brothers. We're putting the band back together on a mission from SMOD. So this week we had a lot of activity behind the scenes as well, and it looks like we might, I guess, insert Kevin Smith laugh. It's Mallrats. So we require, all right, yeah, it's Mallrats, and we require an old empty mall. It would be nice if we could do things to the mall. So if you had a mall and the mall was eventually going away, that would let you, like, blow the effing mall up, which happens to be the third act. So we found a place where we could go, and in order to get that mall before it goes away, we're talking about initially shooting Clerks 3 that we were talking about initially start shooting Clerks 3 this summer, and then we were going to go to Mallrats at the beginning of 2016. Well, then it jumped into 2015, where we were going to shoot Clerks and hopefully Mallrats before the end of the year. Now, based on a mall that we could all dig and that will be going away, the priority has become Mallrats. So the next movie is Mallrats.
Okay. So I thought when you said his next movie is Mallrats 2 would be after Clerks 3, but this is jumping ahead.
Clerks 3. Yeah. As of this past Tuesday, Smith has signed 14 of the 18 targeted cast members from the original film, including Jason Lee, Shannon Doherty, Jeremy London, Joey Lauren Adams, Michael Roker, Ethan Suplee, and Stan Lee. Absent. God, I can't talk now. The still growing list: Claire Florini and Ben Affleck. Hmm. And that, then they pose the question:
Affleck, you can get as a cameo, anyways. I don't think he has to be a major part of it. But Claire Florini, she was the main focus for TS in the first one. So trying to win her affection back.
Yep. So I guess other than that, any final thoughts?
Yeah, Jules. I mean, controlling the microphone all night, so I guess I'll go with that.
Well, Jules is getting ready to speak in the only way she can at the moment.
I need to freshen up on my 3PO conversation. Beep, beep, boop, beep, boops. So I understand.
It's the old Star Trek Trek computers.
I hear the dials turning. No, I was just saying, my pick this week, don't forget, not only do we have Game of Thrones to look forward to on Sunday, but if you got Netflix, Daredevil on Friday. Yes. I can't believe it's already. It really feels like this is Christmas, because these are two shows that I kind of been looking forward to, kind of had on my calendar. They're going to be here.
Well, we talked over on Mighty Marvel Geeks. There's talk that Daredevil might make an appearance in Captain America 3, in Captain America Civil War. It's definitely taking place right after the Avengers. So the events of the Avengers, the original film, directly ties into Daredevil.
I've been keeping myself in the dark as much as possible, because I've been doing this with movies and stuff a lot too, where I try not to find out too much before going in, because
you're on this podcast.
I know, it's kind of a conflict of interest. So usually it's not just me playing dumb. I actually am dumb to any kind of leaks or info that you tell me about. If it's outside of maybe one or two trailers, I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm just speculating.
Here, I thought you were just tuning us out.
What?
Sorry, tune myself out. Never mind.
So yeah, that's my pick of the week this week.
Jules, in whatever voice you can muster, got anything?
We are headed to, which I totally forgot about because I'm on vacation this whole week, but we're headed to Steel City Con Friday and Saturday, but we didn't get press passes, we had to pay, so I'm kind of mad about that. They wouldn't get back to us at all. I think we talked about this before. They don't get back to people.
I think somebody's going to the office once you get there. You're going, what the?
I would. Yeah. Yeah. We emailed a couple times, called a couple times, and nothing, not even anything back. So we had to pay for us to get in. But so we'll be there. Well, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But Sunday we have plans. So, but Noah Wiley's going to be there. So I guess that's the big guest we're excited about, because we already met John Schneider. I might stare at him. I might wave at him, but we already paid money for him, and we got a picture with him and everything. And
if you see him, tell him you heard him on the Weebie Geeks podcast.
Yeah. And I'm hoping I get my voice back, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody while I'm there. It's going to be really embarrassing for me, so.
I'd be curious. So next week, we're going to have a recap of, I guess, Steel City Comic-Con in hopes that next year they'll talk to us. And of course, we'll have a recap of MegaCon as well. So, and I'll be curious to hear what John has to say after you say you heard him on Weeby Geeks. And don't forget to plug his movie, Smothered.
Hopefully, maybe he'll come back on.
Yeah, yeah. That's hopefully we'll get him back on. Yeah,
that was like a year ago, wasn't it? Now that I think about it.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
Because I think, I was going to Chattanooga for, and it was like around spring break, and that's why I missed out on that interview. It's because it was I think it was about a full year.
I'll tell you here in a second. Where are you, John? There you are.
So I totally forgot about this con, and I was like trying to make plans for Friday, Saturday. Keith's like, no. We're going to Comic-Con. I was like, oh my gosh. Because for some reason I was thinking it was not in April. I thought it was like in, I don't know when, but so.
John was July 3rd.
July.
Okay. Yeah.
Just off a few months. So, all runs together at well.
Yeah. Speaking of John and guests, check out the other podcasts. Obviously, keep listening to us. We love you. And I don't really want to break out the sappy Lonely Man song. And if you're not familiar.
All by myself.
No.
That one?
No.
It's just what I sing to myself.
And get ready for the bad notes.
You want me to grab a backpack?
Right there. Bad notes.
I never thought to recut that either.
No,
it also just makes me want to grab a backpack and stick my thumb out.
Check out the other shows on the network, give them some love as well, such as Mighty Marvel Geeks, WDW After Dark, Talking Comics, Pro Wrestling Cast, WDW Tiki Room, Dining at Disney, The Well Watchers, E-Ticket Time, Video Game Book Club, and who knows, there might be more within the next week or two. So, see what happens there. So, yeah. So, the network's growing. Pleased with the progress we're doing. And I guess until next week.
How's it going, eh?
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.